I was a workplace mediator for many years at the EEOC and then also at the World Bank. In fact, at the World Bank, I was hired to set up their mediation program. The World Bank has offices in over 100 countries, and the staff speak about 80 languages as their first language. Most speak 3, 4, 5, 6 languages. In fact, there was one person that I met that spoke 9 languages. I asked her, how do you keep it all? And it was her skill, so she could do that. It was a very challenging environment for a mediator because in mediation, the mediator facilitates a conversation between two people so that they can come to a solution, an agreed upon solution in terms of their problem. So you can imagine if people spoke as their first language 80 languages and they came from 100 countries, their culture was also very different, and culture plays a really critical part in mediation. So that to be able to communicate or help them to communicate effectively meant that each person really had to listen to the other person, not just to what they were saying, but in the context in which they were saying, in the body language they were saying, etc. And so it was hard because in mediation, normally you're there because you have a conflict. And so your emotions are already wired up. And emotions play a really important role in whether or not they could hear each other. So listening was a little bit tricky in these situations. But you know, interpersonal conflicts arise everywhere in our life. In our families, with our spouses, in our communities, in the workplace, everywhere we go. And believe it or not, even in religious settings. And so what happens usually in mediation is that each party sees the other party as being bad, wrong, evil, that they deliberately did something to them, or they got in the way of something that they had to do. What I found fascinating, and among the mediators and the mediator community, we used to call it that magic moment, that if you kept people talking to each other long enough, the moment would come, the aha moment would come, where either both or at least one of them would understand that what happened was either a misunderstanding or that they were really coming from two different directions. They were focusing on two different directions. And that oftentimes they were judging each other based on false information or faulty logic. In the Bible, we are told, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. To judge righteously is to see the reality of all, that we are not human, but spiritual in nature. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, means that we shall not judge by the appearance of the person. Instead, we are to judge by righteousness, which is right thinking, so that we will know that we're all created a living soul in the image and likeness of God. The first part of this Bible quote says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. This means that we will not use wrong thinking in making judgments. Wrong thinking is usually when we base our communications, our views, our ideas on human beliefs and the standards when we attempt to fix something or save someone or correct something or heal something or alter the world, as our standards will always be in turmoil and frustration because it can't be done. Hundreds of years of world history has proven this point. There is always another thing to conquer, something else to build, someone to change or to save, or another thing to acquire. You see, the mistake that we make is that we think that we are dealing with people, flesh, and blood, but we aren't. We are dealing with states of consciousness. Individually, each person's state of mind, which outpictures the world as they perceive it. Our emotions, our fears, ideals, ideas, and thinking all create our individual hell or paradise. Yet, because of the nature of this world, if it is good now, watch out because the other shoe will fall and it will be bad. But if it's bad, then eventually the good days will show up. Time after time of these occurrences brings frustration. Yet for some, these frustrations are important in order for them to earnestly begin the work of knowing God and who they truly are. It sometimes takes getting sick and tired of being sick and tired that gets us to a starting point on our spiritual work. For when we start our work, something inside gives us the signal that what we are experiencing is not life eternal, that there is something else, something more, and so our real search begins. There are many stories of people in tragic situations, almost to a breaking point, when all of a sudden they get an insight, a prompting, a nudge, and with conviction they turn to that something within and become witnesses to God and His glory. Now, living from a spiritual consciousness is not an intellectual exercise, although it can begin that way. It is a commitment to turn to God, being still, so that we may be stirred in our heart, for now we are in God's temple. The silence is a holy place where our soul meets God and dwells in the divine eternal place of consciousness, God's consciousness. It is in the silence that we are in the presence of God's love and peace and harmony, joy, abundance, wisdom, and majesty. In the silence, we are awake, alert with the expectancy of knowing God. In Scripture, we are told, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect place whose mind is stayed on thee." When we dwell in the silence on a consistent basis, regardless of what shows up on our path, we can be assured that it will take a detour away from us and turn into the nothingness that it is. When the presence of God is realized in someone's consciousness, then only God's divine good, love, and joy will be known and experienced. Giving ourselves to God means that when we sow to the Spirit, we experience God in action. But when we sow to the flesh, we judge by the eyes and ears of the human mind. This is when we see good people and bad people, we experience pain and suffering, and may go through difficult times. This is when we judge by the appearance and are unable to see the Father in our picture. If we think that someone is good and has individual power to be good, that is judging by appearances, because there is but one good. Jesus was the instrument for God's good, but of himself, his own will, he could have no good, nor could he express any good. Now, sometimes there appears to be a struggle between that which we know God to be and our carnal mind. One of the reasons for this struggle is that oftentimes we are trying to resolve a problem or a conflict at the level of the problem. When we focus on a problem, we are giving that problem credibility and power in our lives. Yet, a problem is only an appearance. And if we look behind the appearance, we will see that since God is the one spiritual being, there is no problem. When we look behind the experience, we are letting go of whatever is appearing, knowing that only God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Human responses, unless inspired by God, will not resolve or fix anything. Trying to solve a problem from our human understanding only makes the problem bigger and more complicated. Let me share a story. Some of the members of the meditation class are here in the sanctuary, and they've noticed that I usually tell them stories about my life. They're going to know all about me by the time the class is over. Here comes another one. Many years ago, my husband was away, and he had a gun, which I was opposed to, but he had it locked, and so on. He was away. And I got a call from my next-door neighbor one night that said, there is a man dressed all in black, and he's trying to get into your house. My girls were asleep. We had a dog, Molly, who I swear was human. Anyway, and so I called the police, and I went and got the gun. Now, I don't like guns, but I went and got the gun. And just as I'm going down, our bedroom was in the attic, and just as I'm going down, something inside of me said, leave the gun here. So I left the gun, and I went down without the gun. Something that kind of caught my attention was that Molly wasn't barking, and Molly would bark if a flea came in the house. So that seemed kind of strange that she wasn't barking and there was this person trying to get in. So I look out, and when I look out, who do I see but my daughter's 14-year-old boyfriend, who was 6 feet tall, dressed all in black, throwing rocks at her window. So I grabbed him, pulled him in, because I realized the cops are on their way. 2 minutes later, cops come. Three cars come. So they come in with their guns and all of that, and then I come out and I said, I'm really sorry, I apologize, but it was my daughter's boyfriend. And so one cop said, you know, well, you wasted our time, blah, blah, blah. Another cop said, in front of him, lady, you call us whenever you need us. And I said, thank you. So I learned an enormous lesson that way. If I would have brought that gun down with me who does not like guns and is afraid of guns, I could have used it. I could have hurt. I probably could have hurt myself, never mind hurt anybody else. But that voice inside told me, leave it. And I learned a long time ago, when I get that prompting that says to do something, I do it. It's never wrong. I can be very wrong, but it is never wrong. Now, we can't hear God or sense his presence if we are embroiled in human drama. All of us get embroiled in human drama. That's just the nature of being out here. The trick is get out of it as quickly as possible. Because when we are involved with human drama, we think that we are defending our rights ourselves. And we're looking out for what we think is our best interest. How wrong we are. We don't even know what our real interests are. It is in stillness and quietness that we let go and let God. Then it is in His presence that will guide and direct us, where His peace and harmony are revealed and manifested. My kingdom is not of this world. It is the foundation for the building of the new and higher consciousness. It is essential to have the willingness and ability to look away from the particular situation, the appearance, and instead have the perception and conscious awareness of God. The first line in the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." It is my favorite line in the Bible. This is not speaking about a time and space. For another way to say this is, always there is only God. In the beginning, God is every time we turn to our Father for just the pure joy of being in His presence. In the beginning is the truth and faith we have in God, and the inner knowing that when we have conscious awareness of our oneness with our Father, nothing out here can hurt us, nothing can harm us. When we spend time trying to improve our conditions, or believe that money is supply, or even try to improve our beliefs, we delay God's kingdom. We go through, in the beginning, God, throughout the day, all day. As we take time to stop the thoughts and emotions and our wants and desires and just listen. You know, it is true that when we pray the silent prayer, we will see more of God's manifestation of good, such as better relationships, peace, and harmony. But these are still the added things. When we can see beyond the human appearances to life eternal, then we have heaven on earth. We must go to God so that God can, we must not go to God to have Him improve our lives. For if we do, we are missing the whole point. We are not here to have a better existence and perfect the human condition. In case you didn't know, the human condition cannot be perfected. For it is, by its very nature, about what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's high and what's low. The more we attempt to control outcomes and fix people or things that are, the more grounded we become in the belief that you and I are separated from God. It is this belief that keeps us from going beyond the appearances and living God's life. Speaking of beliefs, there are those who believe that affirmations can bring them their good. While affirmations have their place, a limited place, they are for us to shift our thought, our thinking, from the external to the internal when we're getting ready to pray the silent prayer. Affirmations of themselves have no power. I can say over and over again all day long that I have love, that I have joy, that I have abundance, and it all comes from God. I could say that all day long. Otherwise, what I'm doing is just a mental trick, because thinking about that all day long may bring it to me momentarily, but it will not last. Only that that comes from God is eternal and cannot be changed. We must also be careful that we don't use God as our servant to have Him take care of all of our needs and our wants and our desires. For any attempt to use God as a power to get to His attributes for personal reasons will become a barrier in our spiritual unfoldment process. Now, some people may ask, could it be wrong in asking God to heal a baby, an elderly person, or a good person? Goldsmith says that when we see illness and poverty, war, evil, or any other appearance, we are stuck in the middle of human beliefs and human judgment. God is perfection, wholeness, principle, truth, and oneness. God knows nothing of the things of the world, like war, disease, or any other discord. If he did, he wouldn't be God. God will reveal his spiritual understanding when we are ready to receive it, being quiet and still. Then we will know what to do and say as he will lead us. We must focus our attention to this moment and let go of all that consumes us about what happened yesterday and what is to come tomorrow. It is very important that we trust in the presence of God, for all that he is can be known only when we are in this present moment. For when we are in the present moment, we are in his temple. When we sow to the Spirit, we do it in the present moment. For what we did yesterday is gone and gone forever. Every day throughout the day, if even just for a few moments, we need to be still and silent and dwell in the silence with God. I've talked earlier about those in mediation. They had to be present to have the ability to listen to the other person and also to understand where they were coming from. In all of our relationships, whether with a spouse or our children, friends, family, colleagues, or neighbors, we must be present in order to hear them and to have a relationship with them. Our relationship with God is the same. We must be present, not asleep or thinking about what we have to do or what we want. No. We must be present, quiet, and listen. Otherwise, we lose the opportunity to know God and to have that relationship with him. When we put off our prayers, our silent prayers, we are really saying that the external human experience is more important than our eternal life with God. I suspect that there are people who believe, since God is omnipresent, he isn't going anywhere, and so we still have time to turn to him. It is when we have a relationship with God, because of our dedication to our silent prayer practice, that our life, that the life that we live out here in the world is more fruitful, it's more beautiful, abundant, joyous, and filled with love and peace. When we live in the present moment, it is easier to see beyond appearances, human appearances, because then we're no longer judging with evidence from the past or anticipation of the future, but with the stillness of this moment. Practicing the presence consistently will take care of all of the moments in our life. For when we practice the presence, God goes before us, making all of our paths straight. In this spiritual consciousness, we can truly say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." For it is then that we understand that we are all one, not as human beings, but as spiritual beings. When there is an appearance of someone trying to hurt us in some way, that appearance will only yield love and peace from within us. For it is God expressing himself in us and as us. God is the answer to everything. When we consistently practice silent meditation, answers come before we even ask the questions. There are times when something we consider good happens, that we believe it is being at the right place at the right time, or by chance or luck. These are all human concepts that have nothing to do with God. They don't exist in God. Every day as we dwell in God's consciousness, we are renewing our relationship with Him so that He will be known and we can be a witness to His truth. In this consciousness, the human appearances begin to disappear. We then see, hear, not with mortal senses, but with spiritual understanding. That which we couldn't understand is then revealed to us. This is a spiritual unfoldment process where even a small glimpse of the divine spirit opens up the inner life, and we are no longer in bondage of the human way of thinking. We now hear with new ears, and we now see with new eyes. Let us turn to the center of our being, to the omnipresent reality, and let spiritual unfoldment lead us to truth and the principle of life. Maintaining a relationship with God is the most important thing that we will ever do. Daily going within to the secret place where God abides and being still is the way to the realization of God's kingdom, our kingdom. When we judge by human appearances, we are still in the darkness of ignorance. But when we judge righteous judgment by right thinking, it is God's light that leads us into the awareness of life everlasting. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? Let us put this lesson to practice. Let us be still and open ourselves to listen to Divine Spirit. The silence is the holy temple of God. With joy in our hearts, we enter to know and abide in God's presence. Let us be still and quiet so that we may hear our Father whisper to us that we are His beloved child in whom He is most pleased. It is in this holy, sacred silence that we will know our oneness with Spirit. For God our Father loves us and is ever with us. Let us live in the now of this moment, knowing as a child of God, we need not fear anything. Life everlasting is ours right now. Let us be still. Father, Your Spirit is my Spirit. I am ever grateful for Your truth and light in this my spiritual unfolding process. I am grateful for this Your spiritual understanding, revealing a consciousness of life eternal. And so it is. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you life everlasting. Amen.